now that it has prepared the ground, as the late Dr. Walter Burrow used to say. It's what music does. It prepares the heart to receive the seed of God's Word. So we pray that it's done that today. Music has prepared your heart, and we pray that there's good ground there, fertile ground. And today's message is it is sown in our hearts that it'll bring forth a harvest. Some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And as always, we pray that God's blessing, God's word will be a help and an encouragement. We know, as the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 55, that it will not return void, but it will accomplish that which God, notice the word, pleases. We're thankful for that. John chapter 8, you found your place. Stand with me as we honor God's word and the reading of it. I'll begin reading in verse number 20 of John's Gospel chapter 8. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself? Because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Boy, I'll tell you right there, we ought to all say praise God. I'm glad today that God is from above. The Lord is from above. He's not of this world. Praise God. We ought to rejoice of that. Verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. How important it is to believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God, God incarnate, wrapped in flesh, that came to this earth, that lived 33 years, suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary, gave his life for mankind and for their sins, so that we might be saved. Rose again the third day. God, if you don't believe that Jesus is God, you're going to die in your sins. That means that you'll never be saved. That is the prerequisite for salvation. As we read on. Verse 25, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake of them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, in other words, when you've crucified me, then shall ye know that I am he. You remember the soldier there. When he saw Jesus hanging on the cross, what happened? He said, truly thou art, what? The Son of God. That's what Jesus was saying. When you lift me up, then you're going to realize once and for all who I really am. And that happened. Then when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Now, verse 29 is our text verse. Jesus said, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. I'm thankful for that. Now here's the message this morning. Jesus says, for I do always those things that please him. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. Can we say that this morning of ourselves? I do always those things that please him. That's the question that we ought to ask this morning. Are we pleasing him? Think about that this morning. Jesus did. Jesus is our example that you and I are to follow. if he pleased the Father, should it not be our desire to do the same and please him? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, how true it is. We thank you for the example of the Lord Jesus in our lives. I pray that we would follow this example, Lord, here of him pleasing you. Give us the desire, I pray, as he had the desire to please you. And Lord, for all that's done, we'll give you the glory and the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pleasing him. Jesus said, I do always those things that please him. We remember back in the book of Matthew, chapter number 3, and about verse number 17. This was at the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, being baptized by John the Baptist. We find there that there was a voice from heaven that uttered these words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Again, if you look over in the book of Matthew chapter 17 and about verse number 5, this was at the period of time when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was transformed into his glory at that time, and they saw it. And you realize and remember how it transformed their lives when they saw the glory of God in Jesus Christ. At that very moment there on the Mount of Transfiguration as well, there again was the same voice, being God the Father from heaven, uttered those very same words. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But he added two words there. He said, hear him. Hear him. How important is that? As we consider this morning the life and the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, his number one focus in the 33 years that he lived on this earth was to do one thing, and that was to please God the Father. That's why Jesus could say and utter these words when he said, I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. The Lord Jesus' utmost desire in life was to please God the Father, to bring honor, to glorify. The songs that we sang this morning were not by accident, of course. They were divinely put there because our desire should be to make God big. And we do that by pleasing him, by magnifying the Lord in our life. By the way, if we're not magnifying the Lord in our lives, we're not pleasing him. We're not pleasing him if we're not magnifying God. The prophet Isaiah, listen to these words here. The prophet Isaiah stated in the great chapter 53. This is a prophetic chapter that reveals the sacrifice of the Son of Man and how he was wounded for our transgression, how he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. In Isaiah 53 verse 6, the Bible speaks of the great substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus, where he literally became sin for us, because he says there in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way. And the Lord, Jehovah, that's God the Father, hath laid on him, that's Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. What the great substitutionary work. But on down from that, we find there the words of God the Father saying these, when God saw the travail of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Now realize that this was prophetically speaking, but when God saw the travail of the soul of Jesus Christ, the Bible said God was what? He was satisfied. In other words, he was pleased. And then in the same chapter, the Bible said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Don't think for a minute that God the Father is a killjoy. It's somebody that takes pleasure in the pain of somebody else. But the work that Jesus Christ was doing on the cross of Calvary pleased God the Father. That's why Jesus could say that in that thing, I do always those things that please the Father. Yes, yes, his death, his substitutionary work on the cross of Calvary, his death, his suffering, the shame that he endured, yes, it pleased God the Father. Why? Because of the work that it performed. The work of redemption. It pleased God the Father. The work of reconciliation that brought man back to God. Isn't that amazing? Back to a right relationship. That's why the Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 20 that having made peace through what? Through the blood of the cross. Today you and I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was because of His suffering, because of His shame, because of His death, because of the shedding of His blood today that you and I have access to God and can have a relationship with God the Father. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14 that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And no man cometh to who? To God the Father, but by me. Jesus Christ is that. And that's why His life pleased the Father. The question this morning is not, did Jesus Christ please God the Father? Because Jesus, who is the truth and the Word made flesh, He said, I do always those things that please Him. And He did. He always did and continues to do. The question this morning is this: do we do those things that please Him? You know, most of our life, if we took an examination this morning, most of our lives are spent with pleasing somebody. Pleasing somebody. And for the most part, we are trying to please, number one, ourselves. We're going to make sure, we're going to take care of number one, aren't we? You know, that's the philosophy of the world. As long as I'm taken care of, that's really all that matters. But did Jesus have that mindset? Did Jesus have that mentality when He hung there on the cross, when He was suspended between heaven and earth and His blood flowing down His body? When He was beaten beyond a pup, humiliated before the world, was His thought on number one? I'm going to tell you, we need to search this morning hard our lives. This is an important message this morning. Because we're out to please number one. We're going to make sure that number one's pleased. But then on top of that, what about pleasing our spouse? Now I realize there's some wives in here say, I wish my husband would do a little bit more to please me. There may be some husbands in here that might say, well, I wish my wife would do a little bit more to please me. And some of them do everything that they can to please their spouse. That's a good thing in a sense. Then we want to please our children. We want to please our parents. We want to please our friends. We want to please our teachers. We want to please our employers. Some of you may be here today to please me. I thank you for that. But if you're here today to please me, you're here for the wrong reason. Because it's not about pleasing me, you pastor, and I appreciate that. I appreciate your attendance. Some of you may be listening today or watching to please me or to please someone else. But that is for the wrong reason. Our number one goal should be the same goal and the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our example is to do what? Please him. And notice what Jesus said. Jesus said once again, I do always those things that please him. Listen to the words of the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 22. When he says this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, this morning, if we are going to please God, if we're going to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and do those things that please him, you know what? We're going to have to know what it takes to please him, are we not? Do you know what pleases God today? I'm going to tell you, the message is not my opinion today. I'm not to preach my opinion. I'm to preach the Word of God. As Paul challenged Timothy, do what? Preach the Word, not our opinion, but God's Word. So we look into God's Word and we find a list of things. And this morning, this is not a comprehensive list or a complete and total list of things that please God. But I will promise you this, it's a good place to start. If we'll start with these few simple things this morning that I share with you from God's Word that pleases Him, I'll tell you, we'll be on the right path to pleasing God. We'll be on the right path of following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and pleasing Him. And that ought to be our desire this morning. First thing I want you to notice that pleases God is salvation, being saved. The Bible reminds us in the book of Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 11 that God hath what? No pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn to Him and be saved. God does not joy in people dying and going to hell. As I've said many times before, that people that die and go to hell, they go there by choice. I made a woman mad many years ago out here around the lake area. I was out knocking on doors one evening or one morning, and this particular lady, she said, I don't like that sign that you've got up there on your church. And by the way, it was a simple sign that I had put up there at the time. It said, heaven or hell, it's your choice. And she said, I don't like that sign. I said, well, it's the gospel truth, because it's your choice. If you die and go to hell, you'll die and go to hell with the blood of Jesus Christ all over you. Because Jesus died and shed his blood for the sins of all mankind. And he's not willing, as the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm going to say this morning that Jesus Christ is pleased, that God the Father is pleased when people get saved. I believe on the day of Pentecost, when 3,000 souls got saved, I believe God was shouting all over glory, because of the people that got saved and people that trusted Christ as their personal Savior. Salvation pleases the Lord God of heaven. And I'm thankful for that. Then we find that a heart that is right with God and right with their fellow man pleases the Lord. A heart, now remember this, the Bible said in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9, that the heart of man is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know the heart? Only the Lord knows the heart. You remember in the days of Noah, the Bible said that every imagination of their heart was what? Only evil continually. And it repented God that he had made man on the earth. And as a result of it, God said, I'll destroy both man and beast and every living thing. But what did God do? God made a way of deliverance. God made a way of deliverance, as he always does. But our hearts, a heart that is right with God and right with their fellow man, is a life that pleases God. Now let me say, if you're not right with God, you're not pleasing Him. If you're not right with your fellow man this morning, you're not pleasing God. Because if we want to have that right relationship, that's why Paul said, he said, I do always exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense toward God and also toward man. Paul had a desire to please the Lord. That's why his focus was making sure his relationship with God and his fellow man was what it ought to be. So a heart that is right with God and with your fellow man pleases him. We find another thing that pleases God is our prayers. I quoted it or read it here just a moment ago from 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. That says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, that's praying, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you realize when we pray in the name of Jesus, God is pleased? Do you realize when we pray in faith, believing, God is pleased? Do you realize when we pray unselfishly, sad to say, many of our prayers that go up to God are on a very selfish nature. They're all about who? Number one. They're all about pleasing us. Our prayer are about pleasing us. Do you think when Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, when he prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done? Do you think it was about him? No, it was about everything else. When Jesus said, Father, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, he was focusing on others. And that's the way our prayer lies. When we pray unselfishly, it pleases God. Look in the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 3. You don't have to turn there. 1 Kings, chapter 3, we find the life of Solomon. And God was dealing with Solomon, and God gave Solomon a blank check. Basically, he told Solomon, he said, whatever you desire, you're going to get your heart's desire. Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That's what he gave to Solomon. He said, Solomon, whatever you do. And what did Solomon ask for? Solomon didn't ask for riches. If you were to ask some of you today, if God were to say, hey, I'll give you whatever you want, there'd be some of you in here that'd be foolish. You'd be stupid. You'd be an idiot. And you'd say, I want $1 million. I want a brand new house. I want a brand new car. I want a brand new wardrobe. I want this. I want that. And it would be nothing focused on the Lord and pleasing him or anything else. Solomon didn't ask for any of that. Solomon asked for wisdom that he might be able to lead God's people. And this is what the Bible said there in about verse number 10. That God was pleased with what Solomon had asked for. I wonder if God is pleased with our prayer life. We can please God with our prayers, and we should please God with our prayers. That's why Proverbs chapter 15, 8 says this, that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is what? His delight. The prayer of the upright is his delight. In other words, he takes pleasure. He's pleased in the prayers of the upright. It's those prayers that are prayed, faith believing, and that are prayed in the name of Jesus, and that are prayed unselfishly. Folks, we can please God through our prayer lives. Let me say, reverencing and honoring God's word also pleases God. When we reverence and honor God's word, there's nothing more sacred on this planet than this book right here. Nothing more sacred on this planet than God's holy word. This is a sacred book. We should reverence this book. We should honor this book. We should obey this book. Listen to some of these statistics that I came across here recently. It was said that 85% of the student body of one of the largest seminaries, we're talking about America here, 85% of the student body of one of the largest evangelical seminaries here in the United States of America, 85% of the student body said that the Word of God was not inerrant. You know what a seminary is? A seminary is something that, or an educational institute that supposedly sends preachers and missionaries and evangelists out into the world. You wonder why our world is in the shape that it's in today. Because that's the kind of preachers that we're sending out. Folks, I believe God's Word to be inerrant. That means without error. That means perfect. That means pure. That means divinely inspired. Folks, when we reverence this book, when we honor God's Word, it pleases Him. Do you think God's pleased with America? Afraid not. Do you think God is pleased with the churches? Now listen to this. 85% of Episcopalians, this is the poll that was taken, 85% of Episcopalians do not believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. 87% of Methodists do not believe that the Bible is inerrant. 82% of Presbyterians don't believe that the Bible is inerrant. 77% of Lutherans don't believe that the Bible is inerrant. And 67% of Baptists do not believe that the book is inerrant. It goes across every religion, every denomination. The Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. Folks, if we do not honor God's Word, if we do not reverence God's Word, that's why Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. You know what all this cancel culture that Brother Ron talked about this morning in Sunday school, you know what it's all about? It's all about this book right here. It's all about God's holy Word. It's what it's all about. That same crowd will tell you how religious they are. That same crowd, I tell you, oh, how much God is love. And God is love. But that's not the only side of God. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. You don't think God, He looks out here and sees America, sees this world, sees this country, sees this church, and He's not grieved at it? God's angry with the wicked every day. And I'm saying these things that please God when we reverence and honor God's holy Word the way that we should, it pleases the Lord. Bible preaching pleases the Lord. I believe God's happy. He's pleased today with a message. Amen. Now you may not be, but you got to remember, I'm not here to please you. There's only one person I have to please, and if I do that, then all else is well, if I please Him. I'm not here to stroke your ears. I'm not here to pat you on the back. Now, of course, when I preach, I reprove, I rebuke, but I exhort. Sometimes we need that pat on the back. Maybe today's not that time we're getting that pat on the back. But when we preach God's Word, the Bible, it pleases the Lord. Christ-centered preaching pleases the Lord. That's why Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. You know what Paul said? Paul said, we don't preach our opinions. We're preaching the Bible. What I'm saying today, the Bible is backing up everything I'm saying. You wouldn't like my opinion. Don't I tell you that? I'm not near as kind as God. I'm not near as forgiving as God is. I'm not in no way as patient as the Lord is. Am I, Miss Donna? I'm glad that God's in control. And everybody else. But Bible preaching pleases the Lord. Christ-centered preaching. Compassionate preaching. I've got to remember that when I preach and I speak the truth in love. When I see the multitude, I have to do like Jesus, because the Bible said he was moved with compassion. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. It breaks my heart when I see the condition of our local churches today. Even when I see the condition of Lighthouse Baptist Church. It breaks my heart. When I see the condition of other churches out there, it breaks my heart. Because of the decay and the decline that is taking place in our fundamental churches all over this country and all over the world. Confrontational preaching pleases the Lord. Brother Ron was talking about naming names. Some people tell you, well, you ought not to call names. Well, the Bible calls names. The Lord called names. Was Noah a confrontational preacher? The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness in his day. Do you think preaching righteousness, when the culture of his day and time was every imagination of their heart was only evil, continue. You think Noah's preaching was confrontational? Yes, it was. Do you think Elijah was confrontational when he stood up there on Mount Carmel and he said, hey, call upon you gods up there. They might be asleep. Just keep praying. Just keep talking to them. They might be asleep. They may have wandered off somewhere. And he was making fun of the prophets of Baal. You think that was confrontational? You think Stephen was confrontational over in the book of Acts chapter number 7? And when Stephen called the religious crowd of his day, he said, you're a bunch of rebels. He said, you're stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears. You do always err, not knowing the truth. You think that rubbed folks the wrong way? Sure it did. Let me say Bible preaching pleases God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Amen to preaching. It's still preaching. That's what's missing in a lot of these churches and a lot of these denominations. We go back in time. You go back to some of the great preachers of the Bible. We're Methodists. They were Presbyterians. Some of them were Lutheran. Where did we get the Lutheran church from? Martin Luther, who was the great reformer that stamped his 95 theses on the walls of Wittenberg, Germany, and said, hey, this is the truth. Like it or not. But look where it's come. We've had a lot of great Baptists in the Baptist denomination over the years, and great men of God, and people that have made great sacrifices for the cause of Christ. But even the Baptist denomination is declining and decaying. It's preaching that pleases God. Convicting preaching. Faith pleases God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith, what is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, I learned that lesson, what faith was, as a young child. He said, because every Sunday, the preacher would come over to the house and eat lunch. And he said, every Sunday we always had, the gospel bird. We had fried chicken. I like fried chicken. They say that was how I knew how we knew our call to preach. Was that we had a desire never to work again and craving for fried chicken. That's what they say about preachers. But the old preacher, he'd come over, the preacher would come over and they'd have fried chicken every Sunday. And he said, back in those days, the children were not the first in the line to get food like they are today. The children ate what was left over. And when they started passing the plate, it always came around to him last. And when he saw the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, his hope was that when it made it around, that there would still be at least one piece of chicken on the plate when it got back to him. He said, because a lot of Sundays, it depended on how hungry the preacher was. If whether or not, he said he ate a lot of gravy and biscuits in his day. And that'd go contrary to Lester Roloff. Lester Roloff was against that gravy. How many of you like gravy? Amen. Be honest now. Brother Roloff, he preached against it now. He said, you know where we get that word gravy from? What is the first part of the word? Grave. He said, it'll put you in the ground. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm saying this morning that if we want to please God, we got to live by faith. We got to live by faith. That is taking God at His word and believing it, though we don't see it. But without faith, he says, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the faith of Abel. Do you think the faith of Abel pleased God? The sacrifice that Abel made, ultimately, Abel sacrificed his life because Cain murdered his own brother. But God saw the sacrifice of Abel and was pleased because of that faith. Do you think this morning that the faith of Enoch pleased God? The Bible said there by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, for before his translation he had this testimony. That he did what? Pleased God. In the book of Genesis, the Bible said that Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And I'm going to tell you, that's good, isn't it? That's faith. That means that we walk with God in a day and time of our lives when it's not popular to walk with God. That's what Enoch, his faith, and God was pleased with that faith. Do you think God was pleased with the faith of Noah? The Bible said that there in Hebrews 11 that Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. He moved with fear by faith. Then Moses and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab the harlot, Gideon, Samson, all those that were named, and as I preached sometime back, on the faith of others. All of these saw great works of God. There are some that never saw the great works of God, but yet they still believe God. That's the kind of faith that we need. That pleases Him. Isn't that good? Salvation pleases God. If we have a desire this morning as Jesus focus and His desire in life and ministry was to do those things that please Him, it ought to be our desire as well this morning to please the Lord. And we've seen the short list this morning of the things that we know that pleases Him, things that we ought to do being saved. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, if you're watching, if you're listening, or will be listening or watching later, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. One of the things that brings great joy to the life of the Lord Himself is you being saved. Because that's why Jesus went to the cross, so that you would be saved. A heart that is right with God and right with your fellow man pleases the Lord. Our prayer lives are the prayers of the upright or the righteous people. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth them and delivereth them out of all their trouble, Psalms 34:15 says. But our prayer life can please the Lord. When we respect and reverence and honor God's Word, that pleases the Lord. When we preach God's Word, the Bible, it pleases Him, and faith pleases the Lord. Out of those simple things right there this morning, I ask the question once again. There's no question that in the life and ministry of Jesus, He pleased the Lord. He pleased God the Father. What about our lives today? If God was taking a poll, how pleasing would our lives be to Him? How happy would He be with us today? I can't answer for no one but myself. I can't answer for my wife, my children, my grandchildren. I can only answer for myself, and so it is with you. I hope today you leave with a different attitude. That your utmost desire and goal is not to please number one. Which I like things my way too, don't you? Sure we do. We all do. That's not what's important. It's us getting our way and pleasing number one. That's the world's philosophy and mindset. Even though there's nothing wrong with spouses pleasing one another, husbands and wives pleasing one another, to a certain extent, the Bible tells us that a husband's supposed to please his wife in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Man, if you want to know that, read that. Nothing wrong with that. But our top priority should be to please the Lord. Because when we please the Lord, and I'll quote this again when I finish the message later on, but the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh his enemy even to be at peace with him. Our ways ought to please the Lord. What we do ought to please the Lord. And that's what I ask you this morning, is what you're doing, does it please the Lord? Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed.